You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hi, everybody. This is episode 68. Damn, 68 of them. It's October 9th, 2019, the day of recording. And it's fairly nice outside. It's going to be increasingly hotter the next couple days. Then our second cold front here in Austin, Texas comes in. And maybe we'll have more than a day and a half of fall. Because that's all we've had. 36 hours. 36 hours of fall. It's almost the middle of October. It's great. It's some hot shit. Which I understand was super hot for the ACL Fest weekend here. Weekend number one. And then we have weekend number two coming up, which is going to suck at work. Oof. I saw some questionable choices of fashion at the diner this past weekend. Just there was like this group of kids found out they were from Georgia because the server had to card them, and they were all from Georgia with their fucking Bloody Marys that they were ordering at 11 on a Thursday. But they all, you know, wore sunglasses indoors because they were cool. They were super cool. That's what that means. One of them had these huge sunglasses that, like, to the point, like, we were like, now, did she just have LASIK? Like, did she get LASIK in the morning and then fly to Austin? Or did she get LASIK in Austin because she trusts LASIK in this city versus one in Georgia? Which I guess would be understandable. I don't know. But then we kind of took a closer look, and they were like bedazzled edges on the sunglasses. And it's like, no, that was a conscious choice. It's not eye protection. That was a conscious choice to wear sunglasses that take up almost her entire face. And it's just one of the, it's tried not to be old and go, these kids today with their stupid sunglasses. But, these kids today with their stupid fucking sunglasses, or at least that one person. I haven't seen anybody wear some that ridiculous since, other than like Bootsy Collins. I haven't seen any sunglasses that ridiculous. Maybe an old Elton John video, but modern day, I haven't seen one since or before. So I look forward to more ridiculous fashion and behavior from the ACL kids coming up this next weekend. That's what's been going on. But God damn it, I can't wait till it cools down just a little bit. That'd be nice. End of the week, hopefully. So, I was at my coffee shop today, and I've explained that, I know I've said it before, I can't tune people out. I just can't do it. I have I am very aware of my surroundings. And for years, when I first got sober, that was kind of a thing because, your brain's working overtime. So, you're like, how do I quiet my brain with all these thoughts? How do I keep this, how do I do that without drugs or booze or anything? Is that what meditation can do? A little bit. Meditation's more of like taking a break. Not really just fixing everything. But and the whole being aware of your surroundings to the point where, and that's the thing, is that being able, hearing that much around you kind of adds to the social anxiety. Like being that aware of your surroundings and everybody and it adds to that social anxiety. And for a while I didn't enjoy it, but like I'm at the point now where I like being that aware. I'm finally kind of embraced it, and that's so it's one of those things where I don't I wish it could be kind of different, but I'm happy with being able to hear every fucking thing going around me than if I could just dull my senses. And side note, because of that, you know, I told you a couple of weeks ago that I was trying CBD and I would eventually tell you, you know, how it went and what my conclusion was for me personally. And for me personally, what I've determined is that CBD, like, because there's these beverages you can buy. Like, I got them at the convenience store that can have anywhere from like 10 milligrams to 25 milligrams. Like we know what that means. Oh, 25? Like, as opposed to, I don't know what I haven't done enough research to go, hey, maybe that's how much. Let me regulate the amount. I don't know, man. It's just the drink, the sparkling soda that contains CBD that I decided to buy. Anyway, what I've determined is it absolutely is something that I like to consume and use. But at the end of the evening, right before bed, to just kind of relax my shit. That's what I've determined. Not at work. I thought it was helping me at work. I don't think so. I think it kind of makes me unmotivated. It doesn't dumb me down, but it makes me just go, I think I'd rather just lean. And if you're doing manual labor, leaning's not an option. So I decided, and then I tried it like just like right after work. I'm like, yeah, I'll do this. But then I don't want to do anything when I get home. So yeah. Right before I go to bed, when I'm in bed watching TV or some shit and I'm about to read or whatever, that's when CBD works for me. And it's been great. And what's funny about all that is that solution was the exact same solution that I determined about weed 20 years ago. I determined I would only smoke weed right before bed 20 years ago, and then I eventually just quit with the weed and moved on to other things. But I think it's funny that it just full circle. It's the same thing. It's, you know, without the THC makes you stupid part, but it's the same kind of thing. So, you know, I recommend CBD at the end of your day. That's my personal recommendation. But getting back to the coffee shop. Give me a second here. So I don't want to go into all the details because the different things that I heard. But there was a conversation that I heard before I just had to get up and leave prematurely. Like I was finishing up with my coffee and I was going to go to the grocery store, but I had probably about 5 more minutes that I ended up just going, nope, I'm out of here, because I was listening to this. I was trying not to listen, and I was listening to a conversation happening behind me. And there's two things about it that, let me just say, all it was is that, a young woman was there and she got there first, and then the dude showed up and it was awkward at first because the conversation started like they weren't together really. And then it was very evident in the conversation that they were together and shit wasn't going well. And that was what was weird, because there was because she was reading and he kind of came up and was like, hey, what are you reading? And then later to find out that they're together And I'm like, man, what kind of relationship are you having where you don't know what she's reading? Like, that hasn't come up yet? Anyway, I don't know. Not to judge too. I don't know, man. But the reason I bring it up is because, and it doesn't have to do, you know, there's a, there, the stuff that I heard, it doesn't matter. Because I can't really recall, not that I needed to quote it exactly, but the one statement that the guy made me, kind of gave me a red flag, because it reminded me of things that I've heard other dudes say. I've said it before, and it's a little misleading. And so for anybody who wants to hear it, I wanted to clarify what it means. And what it is he had told her that he was, you know, because he was apparently being standoffish, which means they've been together for a bit. Obviously, this isn't a week one relationship, but it's not like a year three relationship. But he had been kind of standoffish, and his explanation was this: that before they started dating, he was single for a long time. So that now they're at a spot where he's scared. You know, it's new, and it. And that was the explanation. You know, it's just I haven't done this, and you know, I'm just kind of scared to. And women, if you've heard guys say that, and I can only speak for the dudes, obviously, but I'm thinking women have said it too. But if you're wondering, if you ever hear this, you're ever hearing somebody you're with, or you have a friend who says that the guy said this. You know, he's, you know, oh, I'm just getting cold feet, and I'm scared. I don't know what that means. Is that he likes you? He does, but he's not just in love with you and is like, yeah. And he's scared that he's scared to commit to the relationship, because what if there's somebody better out there, basically, or what he's missing out if he's committed to this relationship. And what's weird about that is that you don't have to make a decision right now. Like, if shit's going fine, it's just thinking about, you know, it's being in a treading water situation where it's like, oh, this is fine, but it could be better. Yeah, it could be better. Things could always be better, but it's basically, it's like, you got to think about it, dude. And by dude, I mean all of us. It's just, it's nuts. It's nuts to sit there and go, yeah, but what if this theoretical other person is out there and I miss her because I'm just letting this evolve? Let it evolve. Or don't. How about that? How about you don't let it evolve? How about you go, yeah, we need to, you know, it's... this is totally me and my lack of putting forth any kind of an effort. I would rather just sit alone in my apartment, maybe play PlayStation or Xbox and Netflix and chill by myself, apparently. Like, it's just that it's painful to remember me doing the same kind of bullshit where it's like, this fight or flight kind of shit where you're just like, oh, I'm not sure where this is going to go. But rather than be patient and let it play out and see if it does develop any further, I'm just going to bail now. Or I'm going to like passive aggressively pull back and be all, you know, because I'm unsure, I'm going to put zero effort back into it so that she thinks I'm, you know, so she doesn't know what's going on, because that seems fair. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's because what happens is that, you know, you bail, right? Or you do cold shoulder shit, you don't communicate at all, then you finally end up bailing because it comes to a head, because you're not putting forth anything in the relationship. Then you bail out and you go, then you sit alone. And like the third day after sitting alone, you go, I've made a terrible mistake. And then you try to get right back into it. And then you're fine for a week or two. And then you're back into it. And then you're right back to where you started, because you're still not putting anything in the relationship. And you're treading water. And you're going, ew, but what if I'm scared? It's a thing. I don't know. But that's what that means. They say they're scared. That means they're not committed, and they don't know whether they're going to put forth any effort to the relationship. And that sucks, but that's fucking human nature sometimes, I guess. Anyway, it's a bummer, right? Oh, I'm so glad I can eavesdrop without wanting to. It's a great, it's a gift. The unintentional eavesdrop sucks. That's what I'm getting at. There's this neighbor of mine. I live on the third floor. She's on the first floor, a couple doors down. So it's diagonally. So it's this diagonal thing. And she chooses to have all of her phone calls outside, sitting in her chair so she can smoke while she talks shit. And there is drama every day down there. And luckily, I'm not outside. You know, it's basically walking upstairs to my apartment, walking downstairs when she has our conversation. So so the good news is I don't have context. I don't have, I don't know what's all going on. Bad news is I don't have context. I don't know what's going on. So I can't really pass that along. Like, get this, everybody. This chick, no, she, but that's the thing though. Like, it's always, you know, and she does that horseshit thing that some people do where they have it on speakerphone and they're just holding the phone out with the one hand. So she's smoking in one hand and then just blah, blah, blah. And then the person's like, oh my God, is that for real though? And she's like, I'm telling, you know, fucking this and motherfucker and fucking, and I'm like this bitch and blah, like just every day. And I gotta say this, if you've got drama every day in your life, maybe it's you. You know? It's probably you. Everybody sucks? Really? Does everybody suck? Are you sure? Are you sure you're sure? I think it's you. I don't get the lack of awareness. Like, all the time. Like, it makes sense in a bar. It makes sense when you've been drinking. I get it then. Like, that's why bars get louder and louder as the night goes on. People start just dropping down. And they're, like, losing inhibitions, their awareness. And they just keep, you know, no, I'm interesting. Like, just, and, you know, you get those loudest voices in the bar. It's usually a guy who thinks he's super interesting, and he's not. You know, I read, and or you get the 21, 22-year-old girl with a high-pitched voice. It's never like a reasonably pitched voice. It's always the high pitch is the loudest. And like those two are usually the loudest, and they're louder than the music, and it's never something interesting. It's never something smart. Nobody ever just yells over everybody. Well, I think the concept of synchronicity hasn't been explored enough for contributions to psychology, but that's just my take. No, it's never something like that. It's always... I was binging Hulu. But, yeah. I'm fine, by the way. I didn't really... been yammering for 20 minutes, but I didn't really say at all how I was doing. I hope you're doing well. And thanks for joining me this week. I did want to, you know, before I leave, and I am leaving, I saw like a listened to a podcast with this Marine who, and I don't have his name. I should have taken the note down. It doesn't. He was talking about like he received the Congressional Medal of Honor and like was talking about war and talking about the experience and everything. It's fucking intense and like really emotional. And it's good because it gave me an appreciation again, like for the fact that I don't have to do that. And I mean, and there was a point, of course, that he had made about how that both video games and movies romanticize war. And the thing is that most people know that. And it does irritate me when people are like, this is just, you know, this just glorifies it. And it's like, look, I think the middle, the common ground here in the middle is we need to recognize the sacrifices that people in the military make so that we can then enjoy video games and movies and play war. So I'm not going to get rid of this shit just because you think that I don't appreciate sacrifices that people have made. I thought that's the whole point of freedom, was their sacrifice allows me to play dumb video games. There's that. But the thing is, there was this one part that really, he said this one thing about how like just his perspective changed because of, you know, being in the middle of the shit, you know, that his perspective, like back here, like the problems that and the conflicts that people have here, like just the perspective just changes. And I can't even imagine. Like already it's like fights and arguments on Twitter and other dumb shit. Like I just don't, you know, I'm irritated with how much people get upset about the dumbest shit. You know, just and hot takes and all this stuff. I'm already like, I feel that way now, and I ain't been to war. So I can only imagine, the, you know, having to deal with PTSD and all the thoughts that are always in your head that you brought back over, you know, and getting no support for mental illness or very little and all that. And then having to deal with people, you know, and seeing people just enraged because of Ellen and George Bush or whatever the fuck, you know, some random, oh, what's the outrage today? That kind of shit. But he said, you know, that was the thing about his perspective changing. He said that it's that, you know, over here that we, like in America, we can connect with anyone here in America. You can connect with anybody else. We just choose not to because it's just, it's easier. It requires too much effort to listen and to connect, but we could totally do that regardless of which side you're on whatever issue. If you've even picked a side, and why did you pick a side? You know, treating every issue like it's a football game. You know, I'm going to root for blue. And I don't know. It really made me think about it because Because it's one thing to decide not to connect with somebody. I love to not connect with somebody. Yeah, there's nothing I enjoy more than not connecting with a person. Hey, fuck that guy and his ideology. I'll do that. And you know what? It's fine. It's your life, man. You can do whatever you want. But I think that the thing is that if you choose to do that, just realize you can't then sit there and then go, I just don't understand why that person can believe that way. Yeah, you do. You know why you don't understand, because you choose not to. And it's just keep that in mind, that if you really want to know, you can find out. It just requires effort. I mean, if you don't want to, cool. But just realize that you could. You could totally find out why a person is that way, if you just connected with them. All right, let's wrap this shit up. Kitty, we're getting out of here. No, we are leaving. Thank you, guys. I hope you're staying sober or sane. And or sane. Actually, and. Or. I hope you're staying you. How about that? Thanks for joining me. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. Later. Let's ride.